Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
And I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And to me, it's Vegas Friday, Glenn. And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on Horse Radio Network, October 7, 2011, episode 245, sponsored today by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Beginning of the day yesterday's show that Jamie and I did throughout the day yesterday, there was a little competition going on between Jamie and I on our Facebook page. And I would just like to say that my cute, adorable little baby hedgehog beat out your ugly little creepy looking sloth thing on Facebook. Just saying, I had 40 likes, I had 12 shares, 8 comments, and what do you got? A whole lot of ugly little sloth.
Dude, I'm telling you what. You click on that little baby sloth yawning video. That is the cutest thing I have ever seen, by far. I don't care who liked it. You had more time. You posted yours hours before mine. I am telling you, oh, my God, it's the cutest thing ever. Ever.
Like, and you admit, when you looked at that little baby hedgehog in that person's hand, you just didn't want to hug that little thing.
I did, but oh my God, he's yawning. See, that's what happens when we don't want a video.
I think he kinda looks like a gross sort of alien. So
oh God, he's so
maybe
cute.
Sloth
okay.
Doesn't do anything for me.
If for some reason you're listening to this way too late to see this on Facebook, go to YouTube and just type in baby sloth yawning. You will ovulate like I did. I did. But your hedgehog is very cute, too. I mean, come on. There's no ugly baby animals. The good Lord does not make babies ugly just because the fact that somebody's got to take care of them because they're a pain in the butt.
That's right.
But same with humans. I'm telling you, that is why God made kittens and puppies and everything, baby animal, even babies. That's why he made them cute, because they're such pains in the rear end that if they weren't cute, nobody would take care of them.
That's right. They would all be gone. So let me say that today's Freestyle Friday is going to have a little bit of theme at the beginning of the show, because, you know, we're talking about babies. Well, Uncle Mo's becoming a baby daddy here in Kentucky. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But also, I have something for the Man Nation here at Horses in the Morning. I have a little treat for you guys this morning, because very seldom do we ever get the treats, and we are getting the treats this morning. But first, let's talk to Jennifer about what's coming up on today's show, and then we'll talk really fast, get it over with, so Jamie can go to Vegas and hang out with Garth Brooks.
Yeah!
Woohoo! On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, Bizarre headlines, show host hilarity abound today as we let loose, pull out all the stops, memorialize the best of the worst ads out there, and then run headlong into the weekend. That's today.
I'm psyched. That was good. I
like
it.
I'm
going
to hurry to get to the weekend, folks. I've got my riding breeches on already.
She does.
Oh, my God.
She had her riding breeches on already. It's like, oh, man, you're ready to run right after the show today. All right.
By the way, speaking of breeches, Jennifer, are you wearing your carrots boot cut?
I am wearing my carrots boot cuts.
Okay, that is very, everybody I know wants a pair of carrots boot cuts. I can't wear the boot cut because I actually wear my tall boots when I ride, but I'm wearing my carrots and they have these new, like, sticky breeches. Holy cow. My horse, the reason he has not bucked me off yet is because my butt is stuck to the saddle with my new carrots breeches, and I'll think of the name of them, but I highly recommend that, like, totally sticky butt. Oh, my gosh, you will not go anywhere. Anywhere. It's perfect.
Now, where else on the airwaves, anywhere in the universe, can people talk about sticky butt in a positive light and everybody in the audience gets it? Where?
You know, I didn't think about that. I didn't think what I was saying.
Well, probably Howard Stern, but that's in a whole different
But it would not
context.
Be in a positive light.
No, that's true.
It's a good thing on our show.
The sticky butt is fantastic. I'm looking up the power stretch full seat tight is one of them that I got. And then the flex tight full seat and the sit tight. That's the one, sit tight full seat. Holy cow, sit tight. You will sit and you will not go anywhere. You have to peel yourself off your horse when you're done. That's awesome. Sit tight. Go ahead. Carry on. Sorry,
right.
I didn't mean to interrupt.
No problem.
Friday.
Saying, Mandy Widrick, happy birthday. She is our tech guru that makes regular appearances here on Horses in the Morning, and it is her birthday today. She's so darn young, she's probably just old enough to drink this year. So happy birthday, Mandy.
Well, you guys know that I have been in a battle, nay, a war. And my Daily Whinny goes out to my now hopefully deceased little friend, the pocket gopher, that dared to show his face and rival me, the greatest pocket gopher hunter of all time.
Did you gas the little bugger finally?
Let me tell you what. This place was riddled with pocket gophers, and I've been like, you find those little holes where they just dug, and then you have to dig that out, and you have to find the little tunnel, and then you take what looks like a stick of dynamite from, like, Wile E. Coyote, and then you light this thing, and you shove it down in the hole, and then you cover up the hole, and the smoke bomb, like, it's like smoke or carbon monoxide or whatever, and it just peacefully euthanizes all of the little creatures that are trying to make your horse's leg broken by digging holes in your pasture. So I haven't felt terribly bad. I am a vegetarian. I am a little bit of I'm an animal lover. I'm not happy about this, but I thought it was more humane than poisoning them, blah, blah, blah. Well, they're starting to catch on to what I'm doing, Glenn. They're starting to figure it out. And I don't think that I've been as successful as I thought, because they're still here. They still make new holes every morning. And I say they, like I know them, because I feel like I do. So, Glenn, here's what I did.
Shotgun?
Do what?
Shotgun?
No shotgun. I'm sticking with my smoke bomb technique.
Real dynamite.
Not real dynamite. That would really tear up the grass in the pasture. But
you had Chad fly over with napalm.
No. Still sticking with the whole smoke bomb thing. Didn't change the technique. But what I'm saying is that they have unified underground. So here's what I do. I go from hole to hole, and I found one of their holes. I'm like, okay, I got him.
I need a video
and so
of
I smoke bombed one, and so I smoke bomb them. I was like, die, you little buggers. So then I smoke bomb them. Well, then I go to find another hole, and I find that other hole. And I, so I take my little shovel, and I dig it out, and I dig it out, and I dig it out, and I find a tunnel, right? So then I go to stick the smoke bomb in, and I realize that I left the smoke bombs at the last hole that I gassed. So I had to walk maybe about 30 feet to go pick up the smoke bomb there. I checked on my little hole, and I walked back to where I'd already dug the hole out. Those buggers had filled in the hole already.
I need a video of this.
You would not believe it. I'm like, I had dug that hole, and I'm like, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Oh, my God. They're watching me, Glenn. They are watching me, and they're like, "She's gone. She's gone. Fill it in quick. Fill it in quick. Oh my God!" You know, and seriously, I was 60 feet. I walked 60 feet. Do you know how long it takes to do that? Not very long, but long enough for these little buggers to fill in the hole I had already dug out. Don't worry, I won that battle because I just redug it because I have a shovel and they only have their little paws. I'm losing my mind with this. Okay, I really need some help.
You know what? You are going to die from secondhand gopher gas inhalation before these guys ever die of firsthand gopher gas inhalation.
I got something coming up. Hold on. I'm going to get iron lung or whatever they call it, black lung from gassing gophers.
Well, now your Daily Winnie said, my now dead little friend, you don't in fact know that the little guy is dead.
Well, you are correct, but he has not redug his hole, okay? I mean, if he's in there, he's still in there because there's been no exit created, and this was yesterday, okay? Yesterday,
well,
more.
I want to clarify, too. Are these pocket gophers or actual gophers? Because pocket gophers sort of make little trails in your yard that stick up.
These are, I think that the way that they dig their hole and they fan the dirt out, on my little piece of smoke bomb paper that gives me the directions, it says that that kind of fan dirt mound is a pocket gopher. I don't know what they are, but they certainly make holes everywhere. Like, they've even, it's so bad here, Glenn. I mean, this is serious because it's so bad here that they've dug under our driveway. And our driveway has collapsed in several places because the gopher problem has been so bad. So when I say I'm like, this is like a war, I am dead serious. It is no joke.
Well, I have to tell you that I did some research on these particular critters for you because I knew that this topic would be coming up again because I knew you weren't going to win this battle. And you're absolutely right. They might be pocket gophers. And if you've ever seen one of them up close, they have the ugliest yellow teeth in the front.
Really?
Yeah. And they say that one of the best, and they're found in Colorado. Colorado is well known for apparently their pocket gophers. And they say that trapping is one of the best methods to reduce pocket gopher numbers on small to moderate sized fields, less than 50 acres, and to remove remaining animals after a poison control program. Body gripping traps, available from hardware and trapping supply stores, work exceptionally well for capturing gophers. Traps can be set in the main tunnel or in lateral, preferably near the freshest mounds. The lateral tunnel usually can be located by a circular plug, sometimes called a depression, in a fan-shaped mound. Do you get fan-shaped mounds?
Yes, they're fan-shaped mounds.
Well, that's it. It says here, probe, you're going to love this, probe into the depression, usually in the direction away from the mound, until the direction of the tunnel is determined. Remove the several-inch plug of soil with a garden trowel or spade, insert a trap, secure it to a wire or marker stake with the body gripping jaws of a with body gripping jaws about 6 to 8 inches into the tunnel. So now you're going to have to squish the critters. It looks like you want to get rid of these. You're going to have to go to the body traps.
No, I don't. See, that's the thing is people have said to me, how do you get any satisfaction? Because you don't have a body at the end of it. You don't have a body. And I swear to you, Glenn, if I saw one pocket gopher or one body, I would never be able to kill them again. Because I can't do I don't want to see it. I don't want to talk about it. I just want to gas them and let's move on. I don't want to see their little dead little bodies because I don't want to know. I don't want to know. I just put
The other option is poisoning them directly. Apparently, this says the gas doesn't work too well. So, poisoning them directly with, everybody's heard of this name before, and we all know that you don't want to be around it, strychnine. So, your underground baiting with strychnine presents minimal hazards to non-target wildlife. But apparently these little guys die from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and here's
and
the
problem
with
poisoning.
And you got to
get down into the tunnel, and you mix the strychnine with a little bit of grain, and you get down into the tunnel, and you put it down in there, and you let the little buggers eat it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I am not mixing strychnine with grain. Here's why. Because here we go. We're putting grain with strychnine in it in my horse pasture. And when I talked to the guy about the pocket gophers, he said that the safest way for me would be to use the gas because they were going to charge me hundreds of dollars to do it. So this is just my job now. He said that the gas is the best way to go because the pocket gophers will detect that there's something not right about the grain, and they will throw it out of their hole, and they'll just get rid of it. And so that throws it up onto the ground above. And either your horse or your dog runs by and is like, oh, grain, yummy, and then eats it because they're apparently not as smart as the pocket gophers. And, so that is just not happening.
Well, you will be happy to know that it also says shooting pocket gophers is impractical because they seldom wander above the ground. I just had this picture of a shotgun, and you just shoot into the ground. You just go around shooting at the ground. What do you think of that? I think, and then you go to the hospital because your foot's gone. But
yeah,
a shotgun, with a bird shot pattern, probably go a couple inches into the ground. Probably not enough, though. You're not going to get deep enough.
I shot a gun one time, Glenn. One time. And it was one of those shotguns, and it was my stepdad, and they were doing the little pull, and they shoot the disc into the air, and then you shoot it with a shotgun. So I didn't want to do it, and they were like, come on, you can do it, come on, peer pressure. And then they're like, oh, she probably couldn't do it, which is when I picked up the gun, because they told me I couldn't. So I put the shotgun up against my shoulder, and I'm like, okay, pull! And they pull it, and I shoot the gun, and it knocks me to the ground, Glenn, and I had the biggest
all 4 foot 10 of you.
The biggest bruise on my shoulder from the kickback of the gun. It hurt. I will never shoot another shotgun again. I do own a shotgun. If somebody were to come to my house and try to, rape me or steal from me, I do have a shotgun, and I will not be afraid to hold that sucker up to the perpetrator and go, get out of my house. However, I do not own any bullets.
Good. That's effective that way.
They don't know that. They don't know.
All right. So let's review. We have ruled out getting rid of the pocket gophers by gassing them because it doesn't work, but you're going to keep trying that method. We have ruled out poisoning them because they just switch it back up and the horses eat it and die. And then we've ruled out shooting them because the little buggers never come out of their holes. This is just a pain. The pocket gopher.
Yeah, I know. Chad actually has said to me, I'm going to go to Lowe's after work. I'm like, give me some more gopher gas. He's like, seriously, we have spent more money on gopher gas than it would have taken you to pay the guy to get the gophers out of here. He's like, we're spending so much on this. I was like, get the gopher gas. I don't want to talk about it. become possessed. I've lost my mind. These gophers are killing me. I just want them out of my horse pastures. And every time I kill one, I'm like, that's for my horse not breaking his leg, you little boo-hoo. I just gotta, I've lost my mind.
We have to get on with the show. Hey, for 2 days, and I think Jamie brought this up because for 2 days, Jennifer and Jamie have been trying to distract me from doing this story for the Man Nation out there. And for all the guys out there in the audience, we hardly give – we're in the horse world. And we're surrounded by women, you know, and all of that. But, you know, we hardly ever get any stories that are just for us. Well, I have a story that's just for us. And Jennifer, you don't have to – don't talk to her. I'll silence you.
Find something shiny.
Jen, your dolphin picture is the cutest. You win. You win the whole thing. You win the whole baby animal photo contest.
Because
you're
not
distracting me.
Oh, my
You're
God.
Not distracting me.
I want to play with it. Yeah. Fine. Carry on with your stupid story. Nobody cares. I'm just listening
Oh, you can
to
talk
you
for a minute. I'm just posting it so all the men's out there can see it. And I'll sign this
it's
so that...
It's pornography, Glenn. It is pornography.
It is visual art. It is art. There is a difference between pornography and art. This was on billboards in New Zealand. And I wanted to say that I think it's discrimination. And they should be brought up on charges in Australia for not allowing this art to appear on billboards. And for everybody's benefit, there's this lovely company called Body Care by Equiola. Who cares? It doesn't matter. The show on Naked Women on Horses. And they came up for this brand of body care stuff. They came up with this wonderful billboard. And it's about, it's a billboard size. And it's this beautiful woman on this beautiful white horse. Now, the fact that she's not wearing a stitch of clothing, but she's covered. She's sort of, it's done with sensitivity. She's sort of covered in all the right bitty areas. And, you know, they ran these billboards in New Zealand, and then they wouldn't run them in Australia. And I just think that's discrimination against beautiful women everywhere.
Do you know what I think of when I see that? And by the way, this is you should put an 18 and above alert on this on Facebook because you're going to get in trouble. Because she is naked. And do you know what I think of when I see that naked girl straddling that white horse? Do you know what I think of?
A rash.
I think of all the white hair that is going to be up her crack.
There are some places horse hair... I'm sorry.
No.
I always thought that about. I always thought about that about everybody's fantasy of making out on the beach. It's just like the sand in places there shouldn't be sand.
Yeah. No. See, but so what this does to my visualization is just there's too many jokes. Just joke overload right now. It's all inappropriate, and I have to just stop myself because I'm going to get in trouble. But white hair down there is not sexy.
I will say, too,
that's all I'm going to say.
I was rather shocked. When you see the picture of these billboards, I was rather shocked that they allowed this in New Zealand. You know, I could have seen it in maybe Amsterdam. But I didn't really see it being allowed in New Zealand. And apparently they did run these in New Zealand. And they had to cause car crashes all over the country. They really did. Yes. But at least admit that the woman's beautiful. It's a beautiful woman.
Why do I have to admit that? She's got horse hair up her crack. There's nothing sexy about that. All sexiness is gone. But I would like to lay in... my bed with baby lions naked. That would be really fun.
Oh, I got a you are bad from Jennifer. Anyway, all right, let's go on here before I get in too much trouble. Every Friday now, I wanted to do a little segment on horse history. And I found a bit of history that I found quite interesting. And some of you might have known about this and some not. On March 23rd, 1962, Pakistan's governor, Ayub Khan, in a gesture of goodwill, gave First Lady Jacqueline Kennedy a horse named Sardar. And that horse named Sardar, of course, Jacqueline Kennedy was a big horse person, and so he gave her this horse, and she kept it, and it became one of her favorite horses, and she changed Sardar's name to Black Jack. And so that blackjack was a gift, because the gelding was jet black, was a gift from the Pakistan's governor. Well, I didn't know. A couple interesting facts about this is, did you know that John Kennedy was severely allergic to animal hair of any kind? Did you know that, James?
I never saw him sneeze on a single piece of footage anywhere.
I know. And apparently he was severely allergic to horses. And they had horses and they had dogs and cats and birds and rabbits and all kinds of stuff in the White House. So I think she just did that to drive him crazy. So I have a bit of a trivia question, Jennifer, that you can ask on Facebook. Carolyn Kennedy, when she was 5 years old, was given a pony by Lyndon B. Johnson. What was the pony's name? It was probably the most famous pony in American history. Now, what everybody will probably know about the pony that was given to Carolyn Kennedy when she was five, but what they won't know is that John Jr., Kennedy's son, was also given a pony. Now, if somebody knows that pony's name, they're either Googling it or they have a better memory than most people in the world, because he also was given a pony. However, you'd never hear about that pony because they found out John Jr. was more allergic than Dad, and he never had a chance to hang around the pony at all. So he was more allergic than Dad to the pony. So it became the sister's hobby, and of course, you know, she ended up riding and being a rider throughout her life. And one of the most famous pictures that came out of the White House was of Carolyn and JFK and her pony, whose name we're going to find out on Facebook, were photographed together on the White House grounds. And then one of the interesting things is, if you remember right, in your history lessons, when JFK, after his assassination, came back to Washington, D.C., he was taken in a horse-drawn hearse. What do they call that thing? It has a name. The thing that carries the casket. Caisson. He was taken in a horse-drawn caisson, thank you, Jennifer, by none other than Blackjack. And that was the jet black horse that she had received as the gift from the Pakistani governor. Now, he was not the quietest horse in the world, and one of the things that you'll see in one of the videos that was done of the funeral procession is he was quite nervous and reared a couple times, and they had to actually stop the entire procession a couple times and wait for him to settle down. I remember seeing that on the video. So that was the story of Blackjack and how he came to be Jacqueline Kennedy's favorite horse. There you go. A little bit of
history. Well, good story, Glenn. Good story. I don't know the pony's name. I couldn't even tell you anything about any of it. So I was just interested to listen. Do you want me to do the history right now from Keeneland, or do you want to?
Yeah, while we're on history.
Well, really cool. It's the 75th year for Keeneland right now is going on, and opening day is today. So Keeneland opens today. It is the 75th year of opening up, and they did a little thing on the Kentucky website. It's not even the Keeneland website, on the 25 most famous horses that have run at Keeneland. And I realize that Zenyatta's name's not on here, but I don't think she ran on, as Jennifer told me before, she never ran on artificial turf. So she never actually ran. I was just shocked because I know she ran at Churchill. Can't believe she didn't run at Keeneland. So some horses that ran, I'm just going to go through the names. I'm not going to name them all. But the top 25 horses that raced at Keeneland, of course, let's start with one big, Aladar. Aladar, of course, was constantly trying to beat the 1978 Triple Crown winner Affirmed, but Aladar did win the Bluegrass Stakes, and that was his defining triumph by 13 lengths. And Aladar, of course, the horse that then went to Calumet and was the center of all the drama that led to the downfall of Calumet and the whole mess. Did you guys read that
book?
Ooh, I was going to say, did you read that book? That's amazing.
Oh, that was a fantastic book. Oh, yeah.
What's the name of it, guys?
Wild Ride.
Wild Ride. The history of Calumet.
Highly recommend.
It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It's a, just an amazing book about the history of Calumet Farm and the rise and fall and how the whole thing started. And it is, like, dramatic, and there's good guys and bad guys, and it's all true. It is all true. It is just amazing that that whole thing really happened, and it's just crazy. Anyway, some of the other horses that ran, Northern Dancer, only, you know, one of the most influential sires of all time, Northern Dancer, Whirlaway, Ali Sheba, if you remember Ali Sheba, awesome stallion now, Riva Ridge, Coaltown, Azari, Arts and Letters, Ballycoa, Forgo, Holy Bull, John Henry, Tim Tam, Skipaway, just some really awesome horses that ran. So if you have a chance, if you live in the Kentucky area, make sure you go by and check out the museum. You check out, just go to Keeneland.com, and you can buy some history as well. So just really cool. Are you guys going to go?
Okay. Yeah, we're going to go at some point during the week. We're not going to make the mistake of going on the weekend when there's 50,000 people there and you can't see a horse. We're going to go during the
party. I'm going to send a bill over to Keeneland for this advertising we're doing for them. But one of the hidden treasures over at Keeneland that a lot of people don't know about is they have the largest repository of horse racing information in the entire world at Keeneland.
Yeah, they have a library. That's
they
right,
have
the Keeneland Library.
An amazing library. And that was one of the real perks for the gal when she wrote Seabiscuit. She got a lot of that information from the library at Keeneland, because pretty near every piece of literature ever written about a racehorse for any kind of a news organization is over there, and it's free. You can go,
go
in there and go to town.
You can just go in there and read everything, huh? You don't
it's
have
awesome,
to...
yeah. It's really cool.
Cool. Well, there you go. Keeneland,
hey,
it's going on right now.
I just looked it up.
Today.
Wild Ride is still available in print at Amazon. Wild Ride, The Rise and Tragic Fall of Calumet Farm. And that was written by Ann Auerbach, actually, Ann Auerbach. And that's available for $14.13 at Amazon. Also, we wanted to let everybody know that Buck is now available on DVD at Amazon. So you can get it now at Amazon. You can watch it at your house. I'm going to be ordering our copy because we're definitely going to have a copy of Buck. And I also, we would love if you go to order either one of those or anything at Amazon for that matter. Go to our website at horsesinthemorning.com. First, on the left-hand side of the page, there is a Amazon logo. Click on that, and we get a little bit of a kickback for everything that you order from Amazon to help support the network. So it doesn't cost you anything extra.
At least, you know, 4 pennies for everything you purchase. 4 cents of that comes to the horse. But you know what? We can use every penny.
That's right. Actually, it's 6 cents. You were close.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, we would love if you did that. It all adds up, and it is a support for us. So Wild Ride's available there. And also Buck, the movie or the film, is available over there as well in video. So get your copy now. And Jennifer is going to have the opportunity next weekend while I'm up at the carriage auction. She's going to be going on at the Buck Clinic. And you said, Jennifer, that you talked to the organizer here yesterday, and the thing is just like packed.
It is sold out, and sold out a little earlier than normal. What, you know what? I found out something really fascinating. I am going to get George Smock, the organizer, onto the show after the clinic, though. He is fall-off-your-chair hilarious. Buck has been coming to Lexington and doing clinics for a number of years. I never knew. But apparently the clinic is sold out and then some. And the list of people who are going to come and audit apparently is sufficiently enormous that they're going to have to add more bleachers.
Yeah, I heard that they were looking for bleachers because there are just so many that this movie has just propelled it to proportions that they had not planned on at all.
Well, oh, you're so lucky you get to go. Jennifer, that's awesome.
I'm bummed that I didn't call early enough to get to ride.
I was going to say, you taking your horse or no?
Well, you know what? Masterson Station Park, which is across the street from us here, is where the clinic is a county park, so it's open to the public. Anybody can drive in there with their horse and ride any time. So I thought what we would do is just drive in there all casual like, unload the horse, hop on, go for a ride.
Sneak
and
into the
kind
clinic.
Of hang out over there at the edge and crash the party. Just sneak in. Didn't they notice?
I think they're going to kick your butt out, is what I think.
Do they? Can we get past security?
All right, amazing. Let's do a commercial here, Jamie. And then we're going to have something special for you today. This is a recording that was taken from this week's Jumping Radio show. And we're going to tell you more about that because we have a bit of a celebrity that you're going to hear from here after the commercial.
Choose Kentucky Performance Product Supplements because the horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. This week I'm going to talk to you about Equijoul Stabilized Rice Bran. It is low in starch, rich in fat. Equijoul delivers the goodness of all-natural rice bran to your horse in the most stable, nutritious form possible. Their unique milling process ensures that Equijoul rice bran contains a balanced calcium-to-phosphorus ratio, which complements any diet. I'm telling you, the people at Kentucky Performance Products have forgot more about horses than we know. Equijoul is recommended for performance horses, seniors, and horses on restricted diets. Gain the inside advantage with Equijoul Rice Bran by visiting kppusa.com. Please also do follow them on Facebook. They will educate you daily. They actually constantly post questions and answers about stuff that just you may want to learn about. So definitely check them out on Facebook, Kentucky Performance Products.
All right. This audio that we're going to provide for you here is taken from the Jumping Radio show that just came out yesterday. It's episode number 83, and it's part of Chris Stafford's the host of that show, and it's part of her Great Partnership series. She has people that write in and recommend that you talk to the riders who have some great partners, some horses that they're well known for as a partnership. Well, one of the youngest ones she's ever had on is 20-year-old Jessica, and Jessica has a very famous daddy. His name is Bruce Springsteen. So Jessica Springsteen has become well known in the jumping world. And she rides a horse that they're going to talk about here that she's also become very well known for. And we're going to hear that interview. It's about 12 minutes long. But, you know, Jamie, so many of us hear about the kids of the famous celebrities and everything, but you don't often get to hear from them because sometimes they're very well protected. Well, Jessica's been a regular on the Jumping Radio show, and I just thought it was fun that you get to hear about her horse and a little bit about what her life is like. So this is Jessica Springsteen. From the Jumping Radio Show with Chris Stafford.
Well, a popular visitor to the Jumping Radio Show is Jessica Springsteen, and by popular request, she's joining us again to talk about one of her great partners, and that is Vonado van der Hendrik. Well, Jessica, welcome back to the Jumping Radio Show.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
It is. I know you've had a busy summer running around Europe, and we're going to hear about that because we've had a request for you to be on the show as part of our great partnership series to talk about Vonado van der Hendrik. And you have to tell us what we call him for short. What's his barn name?
Well, a lot of people call him Vonado or Vorn. I don't know. It's hard to come up with a cute name from that long one.
Vorn or Vonado. Okay, well, that's much simpler.
Yeah.
Well, you have a lot of fans, obviously, around the world, but you have one big fan in Sweden, that is Clara Bella Svensson. Clara, hi to you. You're a big fan of the show, and I know you love to hear what Jess is up to around the world, and you wanted to hear about her partnership with Vonado, or Vaughn. What should we call him? Vaughn, or what do you call him?
I call him Vonado.
Okay, we're going to call him Vonado, and we're going to hear his story as part of our great partnership series, Jess. Let's tell the story from the beginning, because I know you've done really well with him recently. You've been to Europe, jumped to the Royal Windsor Horse Show, good stuff like that. We'll get to all that. But tell us where you found this horse.
I found him in Belgium, I think about 4 or 5 years ago. I've had him forever. We bought him when he was 9, turning 10. And we just kind of clicked right away. I was much younger when I first tried him, so I hadn't really had too much experience jumping bigger fences, but he gave me so much confidence when I tried him, and the whole time I just had such a big smile on my face. So, you know, I couldn't go back to the States without him, so it was really exciting, and he's an amazing horse.
Well, how is he bred then, and how did you hear about him?
how did we hear about him? Oh my gosh, this is such a long time ago. I'm trying to remember. It's a young man was showing him in the Grand Prix, and he was doing really well, but they didn't think he could do the meter 60 at first, which was actually really funny because now, you know, he's been doing them so well, and we kind of learned together. We did our first big classes together, and he taught me so much. He gave me so much confidence, and it was really cool kind of growing together with him and getting all of that experience in the bigger classes.
So he was an older horse then. You didn't get him as a baby. So he'd already done a little bit, had he, in Europe. Did you say in Belgium you found him?
Yes. He had done a little bit. He was 9 years old. But he did have a little bit of an attitude. So when we brought him back to the States, he hated to go past in gates. I remember one of my first classes, he wouldn't go past the gate at first. And so he still had, you know, was kind of green in that sense. But he's just grown so much. And he's literally so amazing to ride. We're so in sync, and he knows exactly what I'm thinking all the time, and he's just turned into such a wonderful horse.
Now, when you first started riding him, did you go over to Belgium then and try him there, or was he brought over here for you to try?
I was in Europe. I was going around country to country trying a bunch of horses, so I tried him over there.
Okay. So you immediately fell in love with him, love at first sight, was it?
I did, yes, it was.
How big is he, Jess?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. I don't know exactly, but he's perfect size for me.
Okay,
not too small, not too big.
How tall are you?
Yeah, how tall am I? I'm 5'5".
You're 5'5", okay, so he fits you perfectly. Now, he's Belgian,
yes.
So he's a Belgian warmbred.
Mm-hmm.
And when you say he had that bit of an attitude when you came over here and he had an opinion about the in gates, how did you overcome that?
Very easily. That was the only time he ever did that in the beginning. We just put him on the lunge line before my next class, and then he was perfect. He just kind of had to, you know, tell him what to do and not let him take advantage. And it was good for me as a rider because I was, you know, younger at the time and used to just, you know, flying around on my hunters and in the equitation, so it was good for me to learn how to, you know, ride stronger and really tell my horses what I wanted them to do. So it was a really good lesson for me as well.
So what sort of personality does he have then? Has he changed much over the years since you've had him and you obviously formed a solid partnership with him now?
Yeah, he really has so much. He's one of my favorite horses to ride since I've ridden him for so long. You know, we just get along so well. I know exactly what he's going to do at every minute, which was really great when I did my first big Grand Prix. You know, I was so nervous, and he was focused and gave me so much confidence, and I never doubted for a second whether, you know, he was going to do it or not. So it was really great.
Now, he always looks very impressive jumping because he really tucks up in front, doesn't he? I mean, yeah.
He does, and he kicks out behind so much. Yeah. His one leg fires out behind, and his tail actually has gone so high that it like hits my helmet sometimes.
Wow.
And I'm just like, how did that happen? It's so funny. He only does that when he's really fresh. He kicks out so much, and his tail will hit my head, but it's really funny.
He's just careful by nature, isn't he? I mean, that's just...
He's very careful. Everyone asks if it's hard to sit to, but it's really not. I don't really feel it. It doesn't throw me off at all, but it's really funny to see.
Now, as you've formed this partnership with him, Jess, over time, now how many years is it you've had him?
I think 4 full years, or might be even longer than that, 4 or 5.
Right. And over that time, obviously you learn, you got along from the start, but you learn obviously your routine before the class, how much warming up he needs to do in preparation and stuff. You know, give us a sense of what that would be like on a typical show day.
You know, actually it's changed over the years so much. When we first got him, he would need to be lunged and fit in and made sure he was really quiet. So, you know, he wouldn't do anything naughty when I was younger. But now... You know, I just would flat him for a little bit before, and he's very quiet on the flat, so he really, you know, he's never needed too much, and he's very focused. He knows when there's, like, a big competition coming up, he'll be, like, fresh the first day in the warm-up, and then when it's time for the Grand Prix or the, you know, Nations Cup, whatever class, he's 100% focused and ready to go, and he really doesn't take too much preparation.
So if you have a class, say, in the late afternoon or in the evening, would you ride him, school him a little bit in the morning first?
I usually just ride him on the flat in the afternoon, you know, try closest to the class as possible, maybe like 2 hours before, and then he's ready to go. Maybe get on a little bit early if the class goes really late, but it's pretty straightforward.
And what kind of personality is he in the barn? What's he like to take care of? And is, you know, is he best friends with the groom?
He is. You know, he's actually very funny because we always say that he doesn't know. He pins his ears at everyone, and we always say that he doesn't know what that means because he gives the meanest, angriest faces. And you think he's going to bite you, but of course, you know, he never does. That's like his happy to see you face. It's so funny because he just, you know, he always has his ears back. But he's so sweet. He's so easy to work with, and he's a very good boy.
If he was a movie star, who would he be?
A movie star? That's a good question. I don't know. Someone nice and handsome and talented.
He'd be the kind of the George Clooney type, would he?
Yes, yes. Hey, exactly.
That's the kind of horse a girl needs to ride, isn't it? A George Clooney type. My.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, you mentioned, obviously, Grand Prix, Nations Cup, and all the things you've done with him, and you had a lot of fun, I know, at the Royal Windsor Horse Show in England this year with him. What would you think would describe as your career highlights with this horse, and why it's as successful as it is, Jess? What is it that makes you click, and why this horse?
I have to say, probably a big moment in, you know, with him was probably doing the Queen's Cup in Spruce Meadows. You know, I had never done a Grand Prix that big. He had never done a Grand Prix that big. And you're in that huge international ring, and, you know, it was very intense. And he just completely was all business, and it was absolutely huge. I remember after I walked the course, I was so nervous. But, you know, he was all business, and the second we got over the first jump, I knew, you know, that we would be completely fine. And he just really gave it, you know, his all and plus some that day. He tried so hard for me, and it was really, that was a great moment with him. And then probably, you know, this summer doing the Nations Cups, it was a lot. Two rounds, we did four different Nations Cups, so it was two rounds every weekend and in one day, so that was a lot. And he really, you know, he tried his hardest. He was absolutely amazing, and he really is a very special horse.
And I should say his heart then, I mean, to the second part of that question, you know, what makes it special? Why is it such a good fit for you? Because he has such a big heart, and as you said, he's all business.
Yeah.
When he knows when he has to turn it on.
Whatever I ask him to do, as you said, you mentioned the Windsor Horse Show, I brought him there, and I decided to do one of my newer horses in the Grand Prix, so... And Laura thought to do him in the six bar, and I had never done a six bar before, and I don't think he's ever done one before. And it just got to be absolutely huge. It was massive, and he was trying so hard, and we ended up tying for first. He was absolutely amazing, and something he had never done before. And I think he had a lot of fun, but, you know, he really gave it his all, and it was a really fun class.
Now, what's he like to travel? Because obviously a lot of flying around the world for him.
It is. He's very good. You know, he doesn't get bothered much. He does miss going out in his pastures. He's obsessed with grass, so I think he missed that a lot. But other than that, it didn't really affect him at all. You know, a lot of horses have trouble with their weight or, you know, anything like that, but he was completely fine.
Well, we're coming, obviously, to the full season, and he's had a busy season, spring and summer. What's his schedule like now for the rest of the year, Jess? Do you give him a complete break before the Winter Equestrian Festival starts up?
Well, he's had off since about the middle of August. So, and then I think I'm going to show him at Birmingham in the Grand Prix there, which is, I think, the first week in October.
Yeah.
So he gets about 65...
Sorry to interrupt you, Jess. We should mention
that
is the Horse of the Year show in Birmingham, England, that Jess is talking about, not Birmingham, Alabama, as some of you are on that stage. Go ahead, Jess.
Yeah, so I think I'm going to do him in the Grand Prix there, which I'm very excited about, and to be a nice indoor show. I didn't do indoors last year, so he had all of that time off, so it'll be nice going back into the indoor arenas, and I'm looking forward to it.
So Birmingham, England for the Horse Fear Show in October, and then he'll come straight back to the States. Jess, are you doing something else there?
He's going to come back to the States, and then I think I'm going to do, if I can work it out with school, the Washington International Horse Show and then the new show in Kentucky, which I'm looking forward to a lot.
Oh, great. The Alltech National Horse Show right here in the Alltech Arena in the Kentucky Horse Park.
Yeah.
That'd be great. So we'll be able to catch up with you while you're here, Jess. That'd be great.
Definitely.
Get you on the show and hear more about
it. Of course.
Vornado. And then of course, after the National, that's in November, of course, early November, does he get a break before you all go down to Florida after you come out of school for the winter?
Yeah, for sure. He won't be doing, much until then. And he's a very easy horse to prepare, so he'll have a lot of time off, and then he just needs to have one good school before a competition. So, he never really needs a lot of work, which is nice because, it's easier for him. So he'll have all that time off and then a little school before the festival starts, and he'll be ready to go.
Wow. And obviously lots of competing down there. We'll catch up with you in Florida, of course. But until then,
yes,
the best of luck with him, and obviously have a lot of fun back in England. It seems to be happy hunting ground for you to go back to England anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Terrific. All right. Well, good luck with Vornado, and thank you very much for sharing your part.
Thank you. Oh, of course. Thanks, Chris.
All right. That was Jessica Springsteen on the Jumping Radio Show, episode number 83 with Chris Stafford. You can go listen to the rest of that show at jumpingradio.com. Jessica goes to Duke University now and is 20 years old. So I thought it was interesting, Jamie, and I got a chuckle out of when she said, she kept saying, well, I was so much younger then. And I was thinking, yeah, if it was 4 or 5 years, that was a quarter of her lifetime.
Is it forever ago, Glenn? Duh.
I know. It's so funny. All right. How do you keep track of your horse's information, like farrier visits and shots? Do you have a box full of receipts, Post-it notes, or perhaps you just don't keep track of things at all? By the way, this is on my mind right now because we filed, for all of those of you that filed an extension on your taxes this year, they're due next week, October 15th. Well, the solution to the problem is right there on your iPhone, and it is called Pocket Stable. It keeps all of your horse's information in one easy-to-get-to place, including vaccines, wormer, farrier visits, dentist visits, and even the weight of your horse. If you have an iPhone and don't have Pocket Stable and have a horse, then you're doing it all wrong. It's just $3.99. Go out and buy it. It's cheap. It's easy. It'll be in your phone forever, and you'll be able to keep track of all of your horse's information. You can also find them online at pocketstable.com. Well, Jamie, it's time for our song, and then when we come back, we have a really good batch of really bad ads. But first, let's hear from Shay and the Rigel Band. I thought something upbeat and lively for this Friday because I can't play Garth Brooks or I'll get sued, or I would have played you a Garth Brooks song. You're just going to have to wait till tomorrow night. Sorry about that.
Oh, I wanted Garth. And that is Shay and the Rigel Band. She's amazing. I mean, that's a great song. That's beautiful. It's emotional. It's an upbeat. It's a Good Friday song. It's kind of like, you know, a little bit ominous sounding. It's very cool. But I would like to point out that right now it is 39 hours and 34 minutes until Garth Brooks takes the stage at the Wynn Hotel in Las Vegas, baby. Thanks for the tickets, Daddy. From the today's show is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Thanks so much to them for continuing to sponsor Really Bad Ads on Friday. I mean, they sponsor the whole show, but really, they have to listen to this, Really Bad Ads. And I don't know how they do it.
I actually spoke to her last night, and she said good things about our show. we'll just leave
really?
It
really? Okay. Good, good.
Hey, I want to congratulate... So let me congratulate Colleen Casanova because she got the answer. The answer to today's trivia question, and that was Lyndon B. Johnson gave Carolyn and John Jr. each a pony. That's the Kennedys, that is. What were their ponies' names? Well, Carolyn's was named Macaroni. And that was the famous picture that everybody saw of JFK and Carolyn and Macaroni on the lawn there. And then the other one, John Jr.'s horse, was named Leprechaun. So there was Leprechaun and Macaroni. And also one more thing off of Facebook, Jamie Rose Gage, I love you because apparently you see my side of the story about the little posting we did about the naked lady riding white horse. And she said, those all look like graceful art nudes to me. Of course, I was looking more at the horse than the gal. First thought in my head was, what breed was that? Yeah, horse people are weird.
I'm thinking that is Jamie a guy, maybe? No, I think
it's
a girl. Well,
the middle name's Rose, so I'm assuming a girl.
That could have been maiden name. Oh, well, that would still be a girl. Sorry.
Maybe if you're a guy, we're sorry. If you're a guy, then thank you anyway. And I agree totally, total art. Although it can't be a guy because she was looking at the horse. So.
Yeah, I know. I know. Yeah. I was too, and I was looking at the horse hair and thinking how uncomfortable that would be. So there you go.
Really
enjoy
that
one. yeah, and go ahead, Jen.
On the topic of looking at the horse, every time I look at that picture, I look at that horse and go, you know, I wonder if maybe he's got just a touch of Cushing's coming on there because he's really fuzzy. He doesn't have a nice, flat, smooth coat like he oughta.
Okay.
Yeah, he looks like he could possibly be insulin resistant. I think you're right, Jen.
Yeah.
And I do have a complaint to file against both of you in that one of you took out the picture from my show notes. So I can't keep looking down at it to, you know, view the artistic quality of it because one of you deleted it. And I want to know which one it was.
We don't throw each other under the bus, Glenn. We're a team. We are a team.
All right. Here we go.
I say pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but, hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire, let the buyer beware. Horse trading, they tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading, well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's our new opener, because, you know,
it
just fits. Wait, why don't you explain what Really Bad Ads is, and then I'll go over the prizes for today.
All right. Well, Really Bad Ads is when we ask our listeners to submit things that are advertised in their neck of the woods or wherever that, you know, I think people forget that they're selling something. You are trying to sell something, so we would prefer that you use spell check and, you know, put a good photo and maybe, you know, use proper English, punctuation, good grammar, good spelling, you know, control alt key, you know, so you can capitalize things. I don't know what the control alt key is, but something to make your ad look a little bit better. So many people who do the really bad ads submit them to us. So when we say, like the first one we're going to read is from Robin.
Robin did not write this ad. Robin found this ad and sent it to us, and we are very thankful to her for doing that. So when you hear these ads, these people did not write them. They found them on their local Craigslist, Dream Horse, wherever, and sent them to us. And it can be ridiculous. It can be mundane. It can be poor spelling, bad grammar. It can be selling something that's just crazy. It could be, like our first one here, a very odd request. Do you want to go ahead and read the first one?
Well, let's tell everybody what they're going to win today. So that we have two winners today, and the first winner gets a copy of The Opium Equation by Lisa Wysocki. We had her on earlier in the week about her book, and it's a fun read. I read it and highly recommend it. We have it here, right here in my hand, actually. This copy is going to go out to you. So that's for one of our winners. And then the other winner gets a 3-pack of Draper Body Therapy Med Crew socks. These socks help you experience the ultimate therapeutic relief in lower extremities during athletic events or everyday use. I wear these underneath my paddock boots, underneath my muck boots. I wear these to play tennis. Your feet are never going to be tired and sore again if you wear these socks. They are a miracle. I'm telling you, people, they really do work. And that's Draper Body Therapy. You can find them at drapertherapies.com. Thank you to both for the prizes this week. Go ahead,
Jamie. Those are your magic socks. You love them.
They are. Love them. I'm gonna get some for you and send them out. And you tell me you don't love these socks.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see. I believe it, actually. I mean, it's got something special in it. Anyway, the first one, the first ad, I would be happy to help you because I have plenty of experience in this. It's from Lexington, Kentucky. And this person needs help. The title is Need Help Removing a Groundhog. As we all know.
Yeah, you're so good at it.
First of all, I'm like, you wuss. Like, do it yourself. You only have one. You know, you have one groundhog, and I've got 4,000. Like, seriously, Glenn, it's to the point where I am out in the yard smoking these little buggers, and people drive by, and they're like, I'm meeting so many of my new neighbors. The guy drives by, he's like, getting the gophers, huh? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you want to come to my house next? And I said, sir, I do not believe that there is another groundhog or gopher located in the entire West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. That is not on my property. There are no more at your house because they're all right here. Anyway, so this ad says, need help removing a groundhog. We have a groundhog digging under our porch. Critter Control wants a very high fee to remove it. We was hoping to find somebody who would be willing to remove it for $75. Not sure if someone out there has a trap or could rent a trap. I think they're like $10 to rent. Please email us and let us know. Thanks. $75, I'll be there, dude. I'll come on over. Smoke coke gas.
Why would he hire somebody for $75? He says right, and then in the next sentence says, or you could rent a trap for $10. Wouldn't it be cheaper for him just to rent a trap?
I'm thinking that when you go to their house and you're standing on the front porch, you're going to get, like, hit a trap door and going to take you down to the basement where you have to put the lotion on.
The next one is for Robin. The next one is from Robin. I think it's a Donahue. I've never seen it spelled that way before. Donahue. Robin Donahue. It's a very short ad. It just says 7-foot chicken statue, cast aluminum, for $2,500. And I'm not kidding, people. There's a picture with it. It's a 7-foot cast aluminum chicken statue, 7 foot high, taller than me, chicken statue, for $2,500. Who would pay $2,500 for a 7-foot? You love chickens. How much would you pay for this? You know what? If you got this chicken statue, it might scare the pocket gophers away.
You know what, Glenn? I would not buy this chicken statue simply because it is a rooster. And I do not want roosters on my property. You can see little cockles behind the legs.
Can you imagine how loud this one is? They'd be hearing this one in downtown Phoenix.
How much would you pay for a chicken statue, Glenn?
I don't think I'd pay more than $100 for this chicken statue. Jennifer and I have been looking for a yard identifier. You know what we mean by that?
something that you can go, my house is the one with the giant 7-foot rooster.
Exactly. See, I grew up in a town, in a small town, and I grew up on a street that, you know, all the houses kind of looked alike. It was a town called Terry Hill. And I grew up on Maple Street, of all things. You know, how Edwardian is that? I grew up on Maple Street in Terry Hill. And the thing that made our house different is it was pink. Pepto-Bismol pink. The entire freaking house. Try telling your friends, just come to the pink house on those streets. You know, we're the pink one. Because it was the entire house with Pepto-Bismol pink. Apparently, we rented at that time, and the guy, the landlord, had found a sale on pink paint before we moved in. So he painted the entire outside of the house pink and the entire upstairs of the house. All the bedrooms were painted in the same Pepto-Bismol pink.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding.
That's bad. I mean, that's bad to say I live in the pink house and everybody knows what you're talking about. You know what the defining characteristic of my house that I grew up in was?
No.
We're the one that has all the Christmas lights at Christmas. Oh, I know where that is. Right on Oak Grove
Road.
You're
Tim Taylor? You lived in the Tim Taylor house?
My dad is Clark Griswold. And so we were on the 96 Rock, the radio station, 96 Rock tour of lights, okay?
I didn't picture your dad being that guy.
Oh, my God. And you know what? I will not hang a Christmas light to this day simply because the nightmares I had as a child. Hand me that. Untangle it. See which of the bulbs is burned out. Pull that bulb out. Do this. Wrap it all up. We got to hang it up. Get the ladder. Oh, no. No. I don't want a Christmas light on my property.
When did he start? What month did he start in?
November, or actually probably October was when it started, but it would be turned on by November.
Now, did it start like Tim Taylor? Was it a keep up with the neighbors kind of thing, or was it just him? It just loves Christmas.
Glenn, I grew up on 12 acres. I was that bratty kid with a pony in the backyard, and my front yard was woods. And it was woods all the way about an acre in front of the house, all the way back to the house. And every tree, every bush, every branch, everything was covered in godforsaken Christmas lights all the way to the house. And then the roof was covered, the windows. We even had a 7-foot tall, you want to talk about chicken, a 7-foot tall Santa Claus was in the front window, light up Santa Claus. And let me tell you, when you are 9 years old and you get up in the middle of the night to go pee and you walk by and you see a 7-foot tall man standing there, it will scare the pee right out of you. You don't have to worry about it. My God. It was horrible. So you had the pink house. I had the Christmas lighthouse. And you now are going to have the chicken statue house.
I know. This would be a perfect yard identifier because you could just tell a pizza guy or the Chinese delivery people who don't speak English, did you ever wonder how they show up at anybody's house when you call the Chinese pizza delivery? It's like, what's the address again? And then, what's the address again? And then you give it to them five times, and then it's a miracle. They actually show up at your house. I don't know how they do that. But anyway, that's the chicken statue.
Why are you ordering Chinese pizza?
ADD.
Okay.
Two thoughts in one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go on.
The Chinese pizza guy. Well,
the next one. I have to say, I'm going to let you read the next one. But this is about, you've met our cat, the Beast. When people are listening to this next ad submitted by Kelly Utter, thank you, Kelly. You're finding some terrific ads. She won last week. This is the Beast. When you're listening to this, just think of our cat that's now laying probably by Jennifer's feet. That's our cat, the Beast. Here it is.
Okay. Let me read this. Kelly, I thought you should have won, but you got the book last week, so we've given you plenty to read. All right. Crotchety barn cat seeks loving forever home. Elizabethtown, Kentucky. Cougar Kitty is a 6-year-old neutered male barn cat in need of a loving forever home. He has absolutely no redeeming qualities, no beautiful coat pattern, and is blessed with the personality of a bridge troll. You won't have to put up with him for his whole life, at least. He's already 6 years down that path. Barn cats notoriously live short lives, an average of 5 years, but we don't live close enough for the road for that particular out to have worked for us.
Cougar hates, abhors, and detests with determined vengeance all other cats, though he has promised not to kill our dog. He will, however, bite small children, though older children who can run faster would be pretty safe. We would have had him declawed, but that would have still left the teeth, wouldn't it? Cougar is, through necessity, up to date on his rabies vaccines. If you have a problem with overabundance of mice, rats, or moles, this is not the cat for you. However, you will find him an enormous help should you need to curb a wayward population of beautiful songbirds. Sadly, Cougar is not a shy, standoffish, fainting flower type of cat. He greatly enjoys stalking people, especially unsuspecting guests and toddlers. He will rub and purr for your affections. Unfortunately, a severe personality disorder will cause him to bite anybody who tries to pet him. I insert here that I do hold the record of 15 pets in before attack sequence was deployed. This could be your new challenge. Due to public interaction at our farm and the high probability of a lawsuit, we need to relocate this kitty. Having him dispatched through the usual early out veterinary approved system seems like cheating, so it is not an option for us. We do feel Cougar would do well with the lone biker type who hates cats, or possibly the folks at Lake Tobias might take him on as an exhibit. They say there is someone for everyone. The gauntlet has been thrown. Help us out here, please.
This was not a really bad ad. This was a really well-written ad.
Yeah.
Very well written. Didn't necessarily make you want the cat, but I can see some biker going, you know, I can just have him around the house. Get rid of the mice.
No, he doesn't get rid of mice. He just kills the pretty birds.
This is the beast. It is so the beast. You'll be petting him. He'll be all upside down, purring 1 minute, and he'll be scratching your face off the neck. It's our hat.
Yep.
It's our cat right there. Well, I'll do the next one. Thank you to Dawn Bailey for sending this one in. Got an old satellite dish in your yard. Do you want it gone? By the way, the best part of this is the town it's in, which is Skagit. S-K-A-G-I-T. No idea what to say. We are looking for old giant satellite dishes. Do you remember those? You used to see them in every yard in the country, Jamie. You hardly see those anymore.
The giant black satellite dishes, the big
silver ones. Yeah.
By the way, they misspelled satellite. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't notice that because that's probably the way I'd spell it. We want to flip them over and make a roof for an animal hut. I wonder if they're going to make it so that it, the shallow, the dippy part's down or up. If you have that, if you have one and would like it removed from your yard, let us know, and we'll see what we can do. You know what? If they used it with the dippy part down, then it could be a bird bath, too.
Glenn, I would like to point out that I am surprised that you did not write this ad, because you could make a roof for the giant 7-foot chicken that is currently in your front yard. I think it'd be great.
If the 7-foot chicken was $100, I'd do it just to make the neighbors mad.
Can you imagine living next door to somebody whose animal roofs are satellite dishes? Seriously, how redneck is that?
I could tell you that Colleen lives next to the 7-foot chicken, because she wrote, this guy's twin is right by my house. It's a white one, though, and I don't think they'd part with it for any price. She lives next to the 7-foot chicken. All right, you do the next one.
Kelly Rittenhouse, thank you very much for sending this in. She says it took her a while to figure it out, and it did me too. And this is the title, is Serious People Only. This is in Boston. Please, serious people only. This is a real post. Please don't flag. This is, I got to read. There's no punctuation, so excuse me. Please, serious people only. This is a real post. Please don't flag. This is not a scam. And all the people that have emailed me know I will set up a date and time where you can come and meet her. She just turned one, and I don't feel like she gets enough exercise or attention. My landlord isn't happy because she is bigger than expected. She is very sweet. She is up to date on all shots and currently taking her heartworm preventative. I'm looking for someone who has the time to take care of her. She loves kids, but she is now 86 pounds, and she kind of knocks them over not on purpose. I am asking for her.
I am asking for her. I do have a crate I will sell for, and I will give the book and training DVD I have on Mastiffs and her heartworm medicine, of course, all her records, to Serious People Only, please. Only at the very end of that did you find out that it's a giant dog. I mean, unless they're giving their pony heartworm preventative. At the end, she said Mastiff. You're right, Kelly. It took the entire time to figure out what exactly she was talking about. But only Serious People.
Well, the part I found interesting about Kelly's email to us was she wrote, it took me for a while to figure out what this was supposed to be about, and the same was true for my father. Does that mean it took her a while to figure out what her father was about, or her father took the same amount of time to figure out the ad? I can't figure out which.
I would imagine it would be the previous, the first thing.
You know, one of the people, if you're posting an ad on Craigslist, general marketing rules apply. And the general marketing rule is most people never get past the title. So at least put in the title what you're selling. Kind of important.
And I think Dawn Bailey says it best when she found this ad. And this ad from Dawn Bailey speaks to exactly what the really bad ad segment is all about. And it's really, you know, this person gets it. And I would like to offer my services for this person as well, or to be a part of this company. The name of the ad is called Proofreading Services. And the ad says, if you're having trouble with your spell check, such as, for instance, with castrated Boer goats or with Berkshire pigs, for instance, if you don't know that posting everything in capital letters is considered yelling and is bad form on the internet, feel free to send me an email with your ad beforehand. I am happy to help make it right before you post it. Perhaps you'd rather say castrated or weathered for the goat, which I am pretty sure is not half pig, but probably a Boer, B-O-E-R, not a B-O-A-R. And Berkshire with an E is what you would want to say instead of Berkshire with a U. I am guessing that fresh water is what they drink, although perhaps you have more ash in the water. Molasses is usually what people feed instead of molasses with an A and one S. So anyway, I'm glad I could help. Have fun, sell lots of stuff, but for heaven's sake, spell check is a wonderful tool. They're just venting what our whole thing is. Please don't tell people to use spell check or this segment will be over. I'm going to flag their ad so nobody reads
Jennifer,
it.
Better than that, though, let's have Jennifer, if you can find this ad, let's write to this person and get them on the show next week. That could be fun. Let's see if anybody responded to her ad. That could be fun. Let's find out.
Yeah.
Andrea McCullough, looking for a horse anywhere. That's not the name of the town. I guess she just means anywhere. I'm looking for a horse. I would like to have a cheap or free horse. Yeah, who doesn't? One that someone is having a hard time feeding. I enjoy horses, and I have a lot of time to give one. It doesn't matter what kind it is. I want to ride, so if possible. Not mandatory, though. It does have to be able to load. If the feet look not so great or needs attention with weight, that is something I can work with. Please send me an email. I am not putting my number because of solicitation. Thanks and God bless. Well, there's a lady that will take every broken down, non-shod, skinny horse that somebody doesn't want. This person will take it.
I was while you're reading that ad, I was thinking to myself, I've got a horse for her. I wonder how many people sent her a message. She must have been inundated, flooded with messages about free horses that they can't feed, that are broke down and that are crippled and lame, but rideable. Just good Lord. Good Lord. Okay.
I loved how she put, I want to ride so if possible, ... Not mandatory, though.
That doesn't even make sense.
I know. I guess she just wanted to own a horse. Well, the next one is from R. Mitchell. Thank you to R. Australian saddle, $1,500 wanted, turkey, $1.
No.
Let me reread that. Australian saddle, $150 wanted, turkey, $1.
Apache Junction is in Phoenix.
I thought so. For sale, one Australian saddle without horn. Geez, let's start this over. For sale, one Australian saddle without horn, good condition for $100. Wanted, gentle horse for riding on state land off Goldfield and turkey gobbler or hens. Mine is white with some black feathers on undersides. Call Rick. Okay, you live out there. Could you translate this ad?
No. I can't. Because it doesn't make sense. Okay.
We know he has an Australian saddle for sale, but now the thing is, in the top he says Australian saddle, $150. In the ad he says for sale, one Australian saddle without horn, but I didn't know they made them that way, good condition for $100. Is there a different Australian saddle that's $150? Okay.
I was going to say, I didn't even get it because I was too mired in the details of wanted gentle horse for riding on state land off Goldfield and turkey gobbler or hens.
Okay.
Mine is white.
See, and we each have a different issue with this ad. Mine is white with some black feathers on the other side. So is the white with some black feathers his underside, the turkey's underside, or the horse's underside?
I'm going to call Rick right now. Get him on the phone.
Who is white with black feathers on their undersides? Because if
and
Rick,
I thought,
we have something to talk about.
And I thought that, you know, you're basically saying that, like, I think that's a little inappropriate. I don't want to know what his underside looks like. I really don't. I mean,
well,
I'm going to call him.
Apparently it's got black feathers. All right, the next one Jennifer found, and it's, I love this one, only in Kentucky. This is out of Liberty, Kentucky, and it said, the title is Give Me Crap, and then a whole lot of symbols. Thanks for looking. Now, this is the guy that knows how to catch attention in the subject line. When you put a subject line that says, give me crap with a whole lot of symbols, people are going to read your ad. Thanks for looking. I am looking for free manure that I can get trailer loads of. I'll take as much as you've got. I'll take it no matter how many trips it takes me. And if you want a place to dump your manure or stall cleanings from your farm animals, bring it on. Bring it to my farm. I don't matter what kind of manure you have, from cattle, horses, goats, sheep, chickens, or whatever. Email me if you want to give me crap.
Can you imagine?
By the way,
how bad his
won.
Place smells.
If Jennifer could win, this ad would have won for sure. Because and the other, what do you think he wants the crap for? That's my question.
Well, I mean, I just think, like, I felt sorry for the guy's neighbor who used the satellite dishes upside down, and I felt bad for the guy's neighbor who had the 7-foot chicken in their yard, but I think I feel the worst for this guy's neighbor. When you are just, please, pile up your crap at my house. Give me all your crap right now. I want it. That's a really good one.
Am I the only one that wants to do a follow-up on some of the ads we read and find out why?
No. I want to call Rick from the last ad and be like, what the hell were you talking about? This one I actually found. And, you know, you got to give a 16-year-old credit for wanting to get out there and get her hands dirty and work. I'm going to read you her ad. And then I want to know what you think. Hi, I am 16 and I teach lessons for Barnes, or I can just come to you and help you and your horse build confidence. I can totally work with you both individually if you know how to ride and just have some problems in certain areas and some problems with you communicating with your horse. I can help. I can teach you how to barrel race or to jump! Exclamation point. Or simply gaining all the skills you need for fun out on the trails. Remember, I can come to you and your horse just $15 for an hour and a half lesson. The little was a smiley face with the tongue sticking out, by the way. I can also work with horses. I don't have time to completely break your horse right now, but I can do tune-ups, groundwork, desensitizing, and so much more. Do you have a broke horse that you want to start in barrel racing? Well, I can certainly help you! Exclamation point, smiley face. How about jumping. I can help with that, too. Depending on what you want, the price ranges from $15 for an hour and a half session to $25 for a session, smiley face. I can also help you around your barn, mucking, grooming, bathing, brushing, sheath cleaning, etc. I can clean up anything else that you need done. This all depends on what you are looking for. And I'll be super happy to let you know if I can do it and just how little it will cost, smiley face. I am experienced around horses and am super cheap, exclamation point, smiley face. I feel like I should just call her and be like, listen. You are not valuing yourself at all.
God, she's an expert at everything. She'll do jumpers and barrel racers and reiners, and she can desensitize and tune up your horse. She'll break your horse.
No, she doesn't have time to do the breaking. She doesn't have time to do the breaking right now, Glenn. But you can... The value of an hour and a half lesson for only $15, that... is something special. So she is super cheap. Again, I just want to call her and be like, listen, honey, don't say you're super cheap. Don't utter those words anymore ever because that's really it's not a good thing to say about yourself.
When you're 16 and female.
When you're 16 and female. Don't go to the guy's house that needs help removing a groundhog because he'll have you putting the lotion in the basket in no time at all.
Well, I was kind of thinking that maybe we'd get her together with the manure guy because he needs help loading all these trips of manure he's doing. And she said she's good at it. So
we're like matchmakers.
I know. We could put them together. Jennifer found the trailer of the month. And Jennifer posted this along with the ad. It says horse trailer, $350, and he's firm. And I got to tell you, you better get off that firm part because this cracks me up. It says new floor, new jack, new tongue, and the bearings are just packed. And then he goes on to say, ugly as homemade sin, but safe as can be, extra tall. $350 cash, and again, he says firm. I got news for you, buddy. You're going to have to come off the firm part because it may have a new floor and a new jack and a new tongue, but he is absolutely right. This is one of the ugliest trailers I've ever seen. This one is bad. And it looks like those wheel rims are about to fall off the trailer.
First of all, the wheels are different sizes. Like,
oh, that's true. You're right.
Totally different. I would not move a sofa in this trailer, okay? Like, that's crazy.
This is one ugly trailer. This right. So if you're just listening along on the podcast later in the day, go back to our Facebook page and take a look at this trailer. It is unbelievably ugly. All right, it is time for our winners. And the first winner goes out to Dawn Bailey. And we're going to have Jamie read this because this is right up your alley.
I don't know if I should yell during this because the entire thing is in all caps, but I'm starting to lose my voice and I need to sing along with Garth Brooks tomorrow. So I'm not, I mean, he might have me up on stage to sing a song with him, you know, that Trisha Yearwood duet he did. So I'm not going to yell. So I don't damage my beautiful vocal cords. So I'm just going to read it as is.
Before you start, let's just say that the reason that she won is this ad has everything wrong that we talk about in all the other ads, all the capitalization throughout the whole thing, the no punctuation, the misspellings. This one has everything. It is probably the quintessential really bad ad. Okay.
Yeah. I think you're absolutely right. And it's really not even what they say or what they're selling. The title is Sensitive Plan. Sensitive Plan. And the photo is of a potted plant. And here's the ad. I have these plan called Sensitive Plan, or some call it Touch Me Plan, Touch Me Not Plan. I have two of them as an indoor plan because they look like worm weather. I have them outside for the summer, but now that it's getting cold, we're moving them inside. So the reason I'm selling them is I don't have room in my house. They're beautiful, but I don't have room for them in my house. I'm asking $10 each on pretty cheap. They usually cost $20 or more in the store. Call or text me at blah, blah, blah. Thank you. Everything is misspelled. There's no punctuation. It's all in capital letters. Don Bailey, you hit the trifecta. Trifecta.
And what they were selling was the plant, P-L-A-N-T. But the entire way through the ad, it said plant. It took me reading this six times till I figured out what they were actually selling.
And they're actually, it's not even sensitive. I shouldn't have given them that much credit. It actually is spelled Sensitive. Sensitive plan. $10.
But it's cheap.
Thank you.
It's cheap.
Thank you,
Duncan. It's cheap, yeah. Just like Jen from the ad before. All right, this one, by the way, Dawn gets her socks. She gets the three-pack of socks, so we appreciate that. He's sending that in. This next one goes out to Pat Lee, who is, this one was great. It's sent in from the Silver Spring Township Newsletter, and it's activities for all ages. And they apparently, it's a newsletter that goes out to, I don't know, seniors or something about things they can do. And she wins this because this person is just, that wrote this ad, is just a genius. It's just absolute genius.
It's brilliant. I don't know why we haven't thought of this before. And I live so close to Sedona, Arizona, the heart of like vortexes and crystal worshiping, that I might be able to make some money doing this.
Okay, so here it is. The title is Zen and the Art of Horse Grooming, ages 18 plus. Spend a relaxing hour grooming a horse. Your worries will vanish as you reconnect with nature and enjoy your quality time brushing a majestic thoroughbred at our Mechanicsburg stable. You will learn the proper way to safely groom a horse and at the same time release your own inner tensions. No riding. Session, Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 3 p.m. Time, an hour session scheduled with Julie. Location, Honeysuckle Fair Farm. Fee, $25 an hour. Yes, people, you are going to have to pay $25 to go groom somebody else's horse.
God, they're so brilliant. Why haven't we thought about this? My God, a Zen session where you release your own tensions by grooming a cross-tied pawing thoroughbred? Are you kidding me? Brilliant.
Brilliant. Yes, this is another one that requires a follow-up. Did she, in fact, get anybody to bite on this?
Dude, do we have their number? Please, Padley, send us the number for this place, because I think it is time to start following up on these. Okay, who actually pays you to come groom your horses? And how do you do that? How do you justify that now? And how can I sell that to other people? So tell me how you sell that so
well,
I can now
I gotta
sell
say
that
this.
To other people.
Julie from Honeysuckle Fair Farm is the second most brilliant marketer to Steve Jobs. For her to have thought of this and think that it could actually work, and probably she has people taking her up on it, is just unbelievably brilliant marketing.
It really is. Hey, you know our show is over, but I do want to find out. I want to call the chicken guy and see if anybody paid $2,500 for the chicken statue. All you have to do is call that number and be like, hey, you still got the chicken statue? And he'll be like, yep, or nope, I sold it, and then we'll have our answer. The crotchety barn cat, I would love to know if anybody actually took the cat with that awesome ad that sold it. I want to talk to the neighbor of the satellite guy person and be like, what does that guy's house look like? I would like to know how much the girl gets for lessons, $15 for an hour and a half. How much training did she actually do? How many horses did the lady get that wanted a cheaper free horse that was crippled or broke or something like that? I want to know. We need follow-ups. I need follow-ups. Did somebody?
I want to know if the guy has 1,200 tons of crap in his front yard now. That's what I want to know in Liberty, Kentucky. Is he inundated in crap? And did they sell that $350 firm horse trailer that is so lovely and pictured on our Facebook page? We have so many questions, so little time.
Kimberly Jo Graham posted on our Facebook page, does it have a title?
That's the best line of the day, Kimberly.
Yep. And with that, we got to go. We're out of time. We're actually over time. It's going to call extra.
Go, Jamie. Go. Go hang out with Garth. I hope you get to play Snuzzle and Kissy Face, or at least get to sing a duet with him. Have fun in Vegas.
Trisha, move over, Trisha Yearwood. Here I come. I'm singing a duet with Garth.
I can't wait to hear about it. Please post a picture Sunday when you get back so that we can all see.
They have made it quite clear that photos and cameras and cell phones are definitely not allowed, but if I can sneak it in my shoe, I certainly will.
Okay, good. You do that.
All right.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your weekend. Have fun. We'll be back Monday morning, 9 a.m., to hear all about Jamie's adventures with Garth Brooks.
Las Vegas, baby. Spay, neuter, and geld, people. Woohoo!
Hey, Jamie. We'll see you at Steelers in Vegas, okay?
Oh, I'll be there, buddy. My husband.